The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Say FNMs, FNMs, FNMs everywhere, and to the VLPs, under the sound of my voice. Color Ed, it's on the move. I tell you all, Hubert Ingram, wake up, die for Tanya, FNM and me. I don't even know where Ed was hiding. I see Papa in the newspaper one day, and I can't stop. I losing it. I ready now. I wasn't ready for election, but boy, I ready now. I ready now. You know the voice already. It's Leavitt Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I know exactly what it is for the UDP, the UCP, the PLP, or however you pee. You make sure you wash your hand and you wear your mask when you finish, all right? So I'm joined in the studio today. This entire week, hopefully you get the tone. I'm going to be talking to people that are professionals in their area. We have two parties predominantly vying to become the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Of course, among them are third groupings, like the Democratic National Alliance, the UCP, the United Coalition Party. I don't know who else is out there. There is the, I don't know if they're a party because they're a coalition of independents. So there's that. And then there are some fragmented independents. So it's an interesting, what would you even call this? Let me think about the word. But it's an interesting kind of makeup of the landscape of people that are all contending and contesting the Parliament of the Bahamas presently. But again, most structured among them, most notable among them, and certainly most grass sign erected among them are the PLP and the FNM. All right? And so as professionals in your industry, you have to begin to think about what it is that you wish to see. Like, I'm in public transportation. I'm hopeful that we can see the removal of the moratorium on franchise releases. I'm hopeful that you could see the expansion of routes. I'm hopeful that there could possibly be an increase in ground transportation wage, right? Like, I don't know who is expecting us to be able to pay for $140,000 pieces of equipment $1 at a time and then not expect it to be a rat race. I'm hopeful to see that they do things like take VAT off of the equipment, because if you let me bring in duty-free equipment, then what am I paying VAT on it for? Was Thomas, then where was the value added? And so those are just small things in my industry. I'm hopeful to see that we can get more fluid meetings with the Department of Road Traffic. I'm hopeful that we can see proper erected bus stops. I'm hopeful that we could have some road adjustments like that stupid piece of road in between S.E. McPherson and Carmichael Road. I don't know what was going on there or what engineering school that boy who designed that been to, but they ought never let him touch another road until Christ come. So there are just some things that I wish to see in my own industry. And so yesterday I spoke to Gippy the Farmer, Dion Gibson, and he talked about some of the challenges, particularly facing the industry that he's a part of, with regards to revamping the poultry industry predominantly, because he's a chicken farmer predominantly. But he says he's doing sustainable farming now, and so he's doing honey and that kind of stuff as well. And he talked about the adjustments in tariffs, et cetera, those kinds of things that he hoped the government able to government coming into power. This morning, though, I'm talking to, I mean, the creme de la creme, the best in the business. He is the Ayatollah of rock and roller when it comes to food and nutrition and the hotel industry. You know him as Chef. His parents put Simeon Oil in his passport, though. And so he's here with me this morning. Chef, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be in the presence of a meme god in the Bahamas. You've circulated more than, as much as some things have been circulated in the past.
Boy,
yes.
I don't know. I try to hide from them. I really do. I promise you.
It's too late.
So, Chef, 9 days. That's how long it'll take for us as the Bahamian people to decide what it is that we wish to have as the way forward, whether or not we want people that are concerned about our future or whether or not we simply want a new day, right? That is where we are predominantly.
I like that. That was pretty crafty the way that you put those slogans together.
Yeah. And so that must look like something. Once it is all said and done, it is Commodore Clifford Scavala that says, we must make sanity of the madness. And once it's all done, where do you see the sanity in your industry? What are facts that you are looking for in the hotel industry, in the culture industry, in the food industry, that you believe a new administration or a returning administration must get right in order for us to appreciably see an uptick coming out of this pandemic?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me. Mm-hmm. And I really, really appreciate it. Hospitality is our major sector in the Bahamas. I definitely think that it's more than five. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I would say we need a bipartisan team, something that everybody can commit to, hold on to, et cetera, et cetera. As you know, there are political appointed positions here in the Bahamas, especially as it pertains to we have persons all over the globe that represent the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and target an audience. Mm-hmm. And often those change with the five-year tide. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think we need to look at. Where is the educational aspect of the service industry as it pertains to the growth and development of tourism? We don't have it in the schools as I know it, mm-hmm. per se. We used to have Bahamas Hotel Training College, but now that's a part of the University of the Bahamas, which for a lot of people, they can't get into
it. It is out of reach.
Yeah, they can't get into UB. So off to persons like myself, whether it be in the private or in the public sector, to bring in people and train them. That gets very, very expensive. And also that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with all sorts of issues. Had you addressed it in the beginning, mm-hmm. We would have been further along.
Now, you seem to have, Chef, let me see if I can interject there. You seem to have the same cry I heard yesterday from Gippy the Farmer. Gippy the Farmer suggested yesterday that, the policymakers do not understand. No longer a culture. In the 60s or the 50s, what happened was your granddaddy farmed. He took you in the farm with him.
Right.
Granddaddy got old and died. You
right.
just kept on farming because it was what you knew. Today, my mother is a grandmother. She ain't farming nothing. Right.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the only thing she wouldn't do is grow crabgrass. Right.
Right.
So the culture of the people has changed. And so now the state must do more to areas that they deem sustainable, farming. Right. And then now you're saying the hotel industry. You're also saying that we've moved that, you know, strata of education away from people by making the hotel training college a part of COB, which now is overarching tertiary qualification.
Right.
How do we fix that? Because we need to ensure that we have the workforce for the industries that we will build. Let me also give you another example. Two Fridays ago, and he talked about the fact that the Freeport Container Port or the shipyard is about to spend $350 million. 85 or 90% of the people that will be working there will be Filipinos. And it is simply because the Obama from God make the day, and it probably can be there until night come, yet Bahamians largely do not facilitate that operation to do so.
Right.
How do we fix policy?
Well, that's just it. You know, we need to look beyond the popularity of the print the next 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk some policies. Policies that will set us all up. Because whether you're any one of the members of any group or political, the decisions that are made affect you, mm-hmm. affect your family, and affect your unborn. So you need to be concerned and involved in them. And that is one of the things that baffles me, you know, mm-hmm. really and truly. If we are guided by the fact that tourism is such a big part of our GDP, how can we not make sure that that is where a lot of our education goes? If you look at the world globally,
mm-hmm.
The education style of my time, my generation, is null and void.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world. And so a lot of people are moving towards, you know, making sure that we've kind of gotten rid of the parts of teaching and learning
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they might be a little bit more specific.
Because
mm-hmm. if you and I think about it, high school, for a lot of people, that's it.
Yeah.
They have access to too much more than that.
Right.
So
and a lot of that is quite, you know, vague, right? Like I was just telling somebody yesterday, I still ain't have to find X yet in life. I had to find mortgage.
Right.
I had to find light bill.
Right.
Insurance.
Right.
I never had to find X when I leave school.
But you definitely will have to find something in hospitality. I tell people all the time, and I've written 2 articles on it. Every Bahamian is an ambassador of tourism,
mm-hmm.
whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person in the food store that sells grocery
mm-hmm.
to somebody who's here on a ship, for example, a mm-hmm. yacht, and they ask them, hey, where's the best place to eat? You're now an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
The person who stops some tourists from going way down south because I could see you all driving in the wrong area, mm-hmm. in the wrong direction, mm-hmm. ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we all play a part of it, but those that are specifically involved need more training.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you undeniably, we need plenty more training.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to understand and get hospitality on the level that we need to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to compete with the global market, this is going to be key. So that's one of the things that we need to look at. We also need to look at producing and having more facilities outside of hotels.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've always had issues with in my field, if you put on a chef jacket and walk anywhere in Nassau in New Providence, for example, the first question you get is, where the hotel you work though?
Okay.
That's not the only avenue
right.
for hospitality.
Correct. And not only people who in the hotel need to eat.
So I don't understand why that is the sort of norm that we have in our country. So I definitely know that we need to inject more resources
mm-hmm.
outside of the hotel realm
mm-hmm.
in terms of hospitality. Standalone restaurants, et cetera, need more funding. They need more support. They need more visibility in our tourism ads.
Mm-hmm.
When you say come to the Bahamas, it shouldn't be just come to the major resort.
Okay.
Because they aren't the only places that people are coming to. In fact, in today's norm, more people are looking towards boutique and smaller resorts than they are major ones.
I hear people like Chester Cooper talk about sustainable development in the Family Islands. And largely, I hear that. Again, it is vague language. It says absolutely nothing. How does government policy going forward, in your mind, best affect the Family Islands? Because what I hear you saying so far is this whole thrust towards we are going to create jobs may not necessarily be what's needed. Jobs are already here.
Yeah.
The jobs that are here, though, are being taken up by Korean and Honduran and Hispanic people because Bahamians cannot do it.
Right.
So the thrust now may need to be the thrust of 72, which was we need to educate the population. We need to ensure that education is free for all Bahamians. We need to ensure that this is a universal policy. And as much as we kind of teaser with the idea that we give free tertiary education, the truth is even that is still a straw-like pull to the top. That doesn't affect as many people as we think it does.
Right.
And so what I hear you saying is, man, listen, we may need to figure out a way that goes contrary to reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right.
And get people skilled trained, even if they don't know X minus T equals T squared.
For sure.
And how to find X, right? What the boy know is that 3 spoon of rice go to 1 cup of water. and that is a practical, pragmatic skill that he can apply and become skilled in an area and generate, you know, activity that grows the industry. So I hear that. But how, when you sit down and you hear government policy, you hear parties talk about what it is they will do, you hear sometimes the god-awful vagueness, like we are going to create sustainable development in the Family Islands. It means nothing. What does that, when that goes into your air, what does your brain think about it?
Like you said, it's too vague.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give me anything to hold on to. There's no crust.
Right.
In that bread.
Right.
That's just the inside of the bread. I need some crust.
Yeah.
Because the crust is holding everything together.
Correct.
For far too long, we understand. We know the problem. We know the situation. We know how to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to make sure that we're following through on it. For example, again, we need to make sure in a UB, in a hospitality school, that we are not just targeting and developing hotel workers.
Okay.
Because that's only a small part of it. When I was in Palmer's Hotel Training College, never once in the 3.5 years that I was there, did I hear anything about a chef for a small boutique hotel, or did I ever hear, go and develop your own small destination restaurant and hotel? I never heard about working in a food store.
Or
as
hostess.
A corporate chef. I never heard about, you know, working the doctor's hospital. None of them things.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't never on it.
Yeah.
And all of that is a part of what we need to put into our thinking.
Well, language is interesting because we call it the Hotel Training College.
Yeah, well, again.
So the language, the psychology.
It's School of Hospitality now.
And again, in our mind, see, it's because it's all, just like how I believe in the obey of politics, I believe in the psychology of conditioning, right?
Right.
So you call it what you think the people want to hear.
Right.
And then they apply a terminology or a meaning to that thing.
Right, for sure.
So Hospitality Training College, in our mind, H stands for hotel.
You're absolutely right. And here's one of the things that I had an exception to.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2016, I believe it was, I did a total of 40 plus events,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them international. And one of the questions that we got asked was, when I come to the Bahamas, where do I find this?
Mm-hmm.
When I come to the Bahamas to visit, where can I find you? Where can I find this Bahamian show? Where can I find this, et cetera, et cetera? And guess what the answer was?
Mm-hmm.
I know. We put this together for this.
Oh, we ain't got none of them.
See, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that we are, one, representing the Bahamas at its fullest, and also providing a small insight into what is actually available.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go back, see, the thing about development is, sometimes we develop at a rate that puts some things kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in my lifetime, when I was an apprentice, we had a show by the Marriott. We had a dinner show, a cabaret and a theater and all these different stuff. Now those things don't exist. All of the shows of yesteryear, etc. Where are they? What emphasis do we put on those things? And again, a lot of it has to do with there's no support.
Or again, the psychology of the people just do not align. For instance, what do I mean? I tell people at the first year of John Canoe Carnival, I protested it vehemently, right? And I said that, you know, they were watering down culture, and I don't know what was this, you know, this Philistine that the Christie administration had introduced, right? And I went out there with placards in my heart protesting, right? And then I saw the majesty that is Carnival.
Right.
And I just couldn't in good faith protest that anymore. Okay, I just looked like the hand of God waking out here, right?
Right.
And so you see the product. And the difficulty with products and new ideas is you have to build them.
Right.
You have to create it. And I think that when the Christie administration created the concept of Bahamian Carnival and what that would look like and what it would include and how it would be different from Carnival in Louisiana or Carnival in Trinidad and how the Bahamian inclusion would create the infusion that made it different and something that people wanted to see. Of course, I disagreed with a lot of the marketing around it. Of course, I disagreed with it costing $24 million. I still believe that it is the hand of God at work, right? But I don't know if we have the kind of brain power or if I see that kind of brain power in policymaking that says exactly what you're saying now, which is when we have trained the talent, then we have to go a step further and build a product. So we have to build an oncology clinic that hires 6 or 7 executive chefs who now create an experience for people to want to come and die on the beach with cancer that we can't cure.
Right.
Or we need to now create a food festival that is somehow not contradictory to COVID regulations that we could put an executive chef over who then, through some virtual means, has a virtual chef competition happening on every island in the Bahamas and is sponsored by the Food Network. You see, and so that takes more brain power. And I don't think I see the brain power coming out of the conversation.
Well, you know, two things there. One, the brain power, once you sign up to be the governing body, you better bring the brain power. We need to start requiring the brain power a little bit more and seeing what is the benefit of that. But that's basically what a governing body is, brain power. What else you do? what else you for? Yeah, ain't there for nothing else.
Yeah, you don't live
but
long.
It's also exactly you. We need to make sure that we are holding our governments accountable for that brain power. And then secondly, we need to make sure that we are putting the right people in place in these programs. I've said it so many times. You would hear, for example, you have all of these committees and this and that, all to do with food and beverage. And guess who's the last person to know but the committee or be a part of the committee or be on the committee?
The food and beverage act.
The food and beverage. So that is something that we need to make sure that we eliminate across the board. It goes on all genres and sectors of our working force. And that's something I've been advocating for a very, very long time. Slow and steady, you see some changes, but it's not enough. You know what I mean?
Now, they've talked about, and again, I have the PLB's plan in front of me, just maybe through Cosmosis. I don't know. It's the one I have, right? But they talk about the inclusion of the blue economy, the orange economy, the green economy. You hear language like that. Some of it affects your industry, but your industry is actually one of those industries that are not exactly tied to blue, green, or orange economies. Except for orange economies create entertainment, and well, I guess entertainment somehow affects the hotel and somehow that affects the chef because the people there listening to music, they need something to eat. The blue economy talks more about the things that they could catch and capture and kind of save, and hopefully if they catch enough yellowfin tuna, you could make tuna flambé. I don't know. But do you feel like this, all of this talk about blue and red and green and yellow and whatever color the rainbow economy they talk about creating or wanting to create, do you feel like that is to the exclusion of your industry? Or do you think there is a plan out there that includes what it is your conventional industry does as these new industries are created or supported.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. As you know it, how much of the annual GDP is affected by hospitality?
70% of it.
If something, anything, mm-hmm. anything in the world you do for 70%. Anything. Yeah. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
If it's 70%, you don't think that should be his own color? I ain't the smartest.
Yeah.
But I kind of think if it's 70%.
Yeah. We got to call that the white economy.
Whatever it is. Whatever color you want to call it.
Right.
It's beige mm-hmm. for all I care.
Yeah.
If it's 70%.
Yeah. Let's focus on that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Then you ain't need the BJC, GC, Pittman, none of them things to understand that. You're talking about nearly 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that we're doing to arm the 70% of the people who will actually execute.
Mm.
Because I could tell you, I've worked here locally, I've worked abroad, I've worked on the family island.
Well, I tell them use the Ayatollah of rock and roll. You big time.
My friend. Some of the things and you know, one of the things that we are slowly moving away from, unfortunately, was the one thing that set us apart from everybody else,
mm-hmm.
which is Bahamians are innately hospitable people.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we jumping out of the back of a black Honda CRV with Dracos. That's what we're doing now.
So if we lose that one,
yeah.
I don't know what we can do. So if we ain't training,
mm-hmm.
if we ain't putting in policy for growth
mm-hmm.
so that we could see in the next 10 years what we've done collectively, then you tell me what's supposed to happen.
We're about to run to the break. But before we run to the break, I want to ask you this question. What do you believe, then, is the role of the Chef Simeon Hall? And I'll tell you this. I have about 70% of my family are somehow involved in hospitality. Right, so I come from a preaching, cooking family. That's what we used to do, preach and cook.
Okay.
Okay? And almost all of my family members that are in the hospitality industry, whether it is my Uncle Randall or my Uncle Babe or even my aunties that went into the, they sat under someone's tutelage. They didn't go to a school or a college or an institution of any kind. Whether it was Chef Shea or Chef Richie or one of those people that kind of, they just understudied. They ended up where they are today. I have an uncle that's been running a Jewish hospital in Connecticut for about 10 years now, and handsomely paid, with no degree. I mean, I think the boy got 2 BJCs. But, you know, and it's true. Sometimes you find that all these certifications right. mean nothing, right? I know some people who only have a birth certificate, a health certificate, and the next one they can qualify for is a death certificate. But... they are very well skilled in their areas.
Yeah.
And it's because someone grabbed them as a 16-year-old or 17-year-old and say, boy, you ain't gonna never find X. Come this way.
Yeah.
And taught them the skill. Do we not still have that? Are people like you, now senior men in the industry, are you all ensuring that you all are tutelage or putting people under your tutelage as opposed to trying to get the perfect candidate to come in?
You hit the nail on the head. And for somebody like me, that's 70% of what I do.
Okay.
I'm so accessible
mm-hmm.
to anybody who is definitely starting in the industry, wants to develop a little bit more in the industry. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that is the norm. And I also can say that unfortunately, with everything that's going on now, a lot of our younger generation,
mm-hmm.
they coming out believing they already the rock star.
Okay.
Because, you know, we live in that age, unfortunately, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah, YouTube teach me how to make craft,
you know?
You know
what I mean? Mm-hmm. I ain't really need you no more. I think I could do it.
Yeah.
You do a guest appearance on Livancho. I do a guest appearance on Livancho.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if that sort of mentorship is sought after anymore.
Mm.
But it does. I do believe that persons like myself owe it to the industry to make sure that we're available.
Mm.
And that is one of the things that I could name all the chefs who impacted me. And I want somebody in the Bahamas to be able to put me on that list.
Mm.
And so I continue to make sure that that is a part of what it is that we do every single day with anybody who wants our help.
All right, we're going to a break. You know, I tell you, he's the Ayatollah of rock and roller when it comes to food and nutrition and hospitality. Chef Simeon Hall is my guest. It's Levin Miller. I'm Unleashed on your radio. Don't move. I've got more show planned.
My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country, and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family, who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children. And actually, there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
COVID-19, do not panic, be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me, Levin Miller. That means it's Guardian. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 because I'm Unleashed on the radio and I've got my good friend, Chef Simeon Hall here. Chef, I'm going to read this. I like when people cuss me out on these text lines, by the way. They say, Levin, you're politically biased. Why would you try to discredit the third party, especially the Coalition for Independence? God will speak in this election and shock all of you who are biased media. And then they use Perry Christie's word, right? Which I think is appropriate radio language, because if the prime minister could say it, then I could quote the prime minister saying it, which would then make it appropriate language. See? You see how it works? If the prime minister says it,
and
Prime Minister Raleigh said it the other day.
I ain't getting in that.
And so once a prime minister says it, it's prime ministerial language, I guess, and then you could quote it. But I will say this, right? I don't think any of them will amount to much. I believe they have taken on a yeoman's task. I don't know if any of them are yeoman. And I will also say this. The Spirit of the Lord came to me the other day, you know, and told me, watch out for Komolafe and Carmichael, right? And I know it had to be God because I don't think nothing about Komolafe and Carmichael, right? Like, let me fix the sentence. I don't think about Komolafe in Carmichael.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense? Like, when I think about the race in Carmichael, her name just doesn't come to my mind.
Mm.
But literally, I was sitting down the other day, and I said, boy, you know something. Malafe might pull this off in Carmichael. You know. I knew it had to be the voice of the Lord because I know the voice of Levin wouldn't think that. Yeah, the voice of Levin wouldn't think that. Chef, let's take a call. Come on, caller, you're on. Caller there? Is the caller? Come on, caller.
Hey, good morning, Miller. How you doing?
All is well, Sparky.
Sparky, yeah, you know, I'm sorry to change the topic a little bit, but you know, I heard you talking about land and what people don't want to do no more because most people just want the prettiest Nike and LA gear. Fanciest the one jeans and clothes, the fanciest car with spokes and everything. And everybody want a coat suit job going on with three-piece clothes with tie and everything, looking fancy. I don't have no problem with that, but guess what, Mr. Miller, we got to eat. In America and most around the world, you got farmers who are multi-billionaires. acres and acres of property and tractors and all kind of things. The only thing they're scared of is insects and bad weather that destroy their crops. And they feed the world, they feed America, they feed the Bahamas. The problem with us is we got people down here who still want to get into farming. A lot of talk show hosts throw this topic away so lightly. But this is so important. We have to eat and eat healthy to live.
Spaghetti did a whole show yesterday on farming, an entire show. I don't know, maybe you want to take that up with one of the talk show hosts that keep throwing it away. That ain't me. I call Gippy the Farmer all the way in Eleuthera, to talk about farming. So I share your sentiments, Sparky. Let me read this other text, Chef. They like to cuss me. I like when they cuss at me. The media is supposed to be neutral, and this is in all caps. Dwight gave you a chance, first of all, right? Whether God delivers me from the fire or not, I will not bow. I believe that God will deliver me. But even if my God doesn't deliver me, O King, I will not bow. That is all I have to say. Chef, you were saying something. Let's read it down one of these. They curse me all about it. That's not the voice of God. That's gas who drinks a ginger tea. No, I'm serious. I am a professed Christian, right? Like, and I tell people I am what I consider liberal Christian. So when you ask me, my proclivity, right? It's Christian. Like, I'm not Hindu, I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Judas, I'm not atheist, I'm definitely not atheist, right? I think people who are atheists should go get their hair checked. I'm not agnostic. I'm Christian, right? And as a professed Christian, here is what I think happens a lot of times. I know the thoughts that Levin thinks. When thoughts pop into my mind that aren't Levin, but they are in my voice, I associate that to be the voice of God. Because I know I don't think that. And so I feel like that is the cosmic energy of the greater I am.
And nobody can take that from you.
Yeah, tapping into my cerebral subconsciousness. That is what I assume to be the voice of God. And literally, sitting down, I heard it. What about Gomalafe and Gomichael? I said, God, that's you? Jesus, is that you for Drew? That's what I thought. Anyway, so Chef, we were talking about understudying. I want to read something. You can tell me what you think about this. When your air has this, what does your brain think? Create greater equity and opportunities for Bahamians in tourism. One, focus on increasing economic benefit through the tourism value chain rather than relying on ever increasing visitor numbers. Negotiate additional and stronger positions in the hotel and hospitality supply chains for Bahamian businesses to reduce industry reliance on imports, which leaks value out of the economy and has resulted in the industry becoming increasingly uncompetitive because of the high cost of visitors. Your air has it. What does your brain think?
Two things. One, that again is a part of the policy that we speak, the things that we need to put in place. And then two, preparedness, Bahamians being ready for what it is that we seek. Mm-hmm. I'm a strong believer in making sure that when you ask for something, you are ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the issues, unfortunately, that I run across. Mm-hmm. There are some opportunities with great benefits to Bahamians, but unfortunately, we're not prepared. Mm. There are undoubtedly some things that are crafted in a way that puts Bahamians out of reach of certain things, but there are also some things that we just don't be ready for. I remember when I was a young apprentice, reading in the Tribune, for example. I don't know if this is still the case, but I remember always that when any business in hospitality was applying for a work permit, they had to list the job and the job description that they were seeking locally first to say that it wasn't available locally.
Okay.
And so one of the things that always baffled me was the requirements. The requirements was you had to work in New York, you had to work in Asia, you had to be this, you had to be that. Well, some of us have them things now.
Okay.
So you can't just eliminate us with that post anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we are prepared to make sure that those things happen.
What does this translate into in your mind when your ears hear it? Expand the role of Bahamas Invest to support supplier businesses to hotels and other significant tourist operations, especially in light manufacturing.
Well, first and foremost, again, here we go with that leading term, hotel. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I hear, is always the hotel. Mm-hmm. But yes, we do need to make sure that we have a industry of consumer-packed goods. And that's one of the things that we don't have here locally. I just, before I came here, toured an operation who's primarily international. Mm-hmm. And what they have to do to make sure that that exists is a big deal. Just associated with somebody who is getting ready to open a commissary facility here in the Bahamas to allow small businesses the space to create, develop, regulate product so that it can go into the market. Because here's the deal, Levant. Mm-hmm. When you say something like that, for example, a Four Seasons ain't gonna just let you put in your product because you're local. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to meet the brand standard.
Correct.
And the brand standard is pretty high.
And not even that. You have to also be able to, this is what Gabita Farmer tried to point out yesterday. You need to be able to have contractual amounts. So you can't give me 10 today and then tomorrow you ain't got none and the people looking for it because they associate my brand with this product.
But that's primarily because most of these people, they don't know at home. You get your cat and your dog home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your fridge full of things, the temperature and all kind of things. Then you want to give it to me. I can't take that.
What does this translate into in your mind when you hear it? This here says, reform subsidies to investors to level the playing field for Bahamians to compete and build wealth in tourism, focus on stopover visitors, and expand opportunities for them to spend more on products, services, and activities in the wider community. Translate it for me.
I guess some people will come over the hill. That's what that means to me. Mm-hmm. That means...
For what will they come there, Henry?
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Henry, for what? There's nothing there.
Yeah, but
other
no
than
more.
Flooded roads, potholes,
no more.
And couple pot cake.
But no more. If you are a 70% nation, if you only have 21/7, how only 3 of that is usable for the
unless they are avid pot cake watchers, right?
But we need to make sure that we understand either we gotta change it or we gotta fix and develop it. You know what I mean? Because again, there are some persons like myself. When I travel, I don't want to go to just the touristy, quote-unquote, safe area. Mm-hmm. I want to go all over the place where the people is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there are some diamonds in the rough over the hill.
This here says, negotiate greater value for the cruise ship industry, including an environmental levy for passengers. Do you see that as adding to the product, that is the Bahamian tourism product, or you see that as...
I see that as another way for us to get a cheap, quick fix rather than us developing and working hard for the product that we have. Mm-hmm. I used to work on a cruise ship, right, for 3 years.
I tell you at least that.
And I can tell you, for example, in food and beverage, me as a cruise ship passenger, I don't have to partake of any food and beverage on the destination that I'm headed to. Mm-hmm. Why? Because... early in the morning, before you get off, right when you come back on, right when you want, if you want just come back on, you know, in the middle of the day, you can be fed and you can get drinks. Mm-hmm. Already cost to your bill. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to partake of those things. The only way I do it, if there's some exceptional cultural attachment to those things.
Yeah, like that if you gives always me... wanted curry or to Jamaica.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I go into Jamaica because Jamaica has that brand attached to it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately here in the Bahamas, what do we have? What do we give? What do we show for people beyond the sun, sand, and sea?
We may be able to encourage Nat Geo here to come and do a documentary. And here you see Brownie, the local pot cake. He's walking through Old Boat Alley.
But there are people that seek it, though. Huh? Those... we are in the day of the traveler and not just the tourist.
Agreed.
Tourists them don't do much.
No.
You know what I mean?
They just go to the beach and lay down.
They go to Junkanoo Beach and walk right back and they
gone. Point up in the sun and then go back on.
They gone. You know what I mean?
Let me get this last one in, Chef, because I want to squeeze some politics in with you before you go. I can't let you come and just talk, but cook in the holes. This one says, mandate the Ministry of Tourism marketing efforts to increasingly engage Bahamian talent and local businesses with a focus on promoting our vibrant Bahamian culture. It's in your air. What does your brain
hear? 110%. I'll never forget, I was in a major resort in Grand Bahama, and they were playing the launch ad for the property. And they had some, I don't know, whether the person was from New York, some different island or whatever. They had the person doing the voice was sounded like a mix between Jamaican and Bajan. Everybody objected to it. And they had to pull the ad before it hit out.
Okay.
One of the things that we do very, very wrong here is that we water down who we are.
Bahamianness.
110%. You follow me on any of my social media platforms. If you look at my online footprint, I am 100%, 110% Bahamian is Bahamian. Don't tell me I have broken English because me and you can fight. Because there's nothing broken about the Bahamian dialect. That's number one. Number two, I want to experience or I want to project into the atmosphere what it is to be and visit and be a part of the Bahamas. Don't give me some Jamaican sounding person or some whatever other sounding person to do our marketing. Don't take me to, you know, there's a movie on Netflix right now because of COVID. They had to shoot it in Barbados. But it's supposed to be in the Bahamas. The whole thing is Bajan.
Wow. What's going on here?
Listen to me. You want to talk about growl my flesh? Man, listen. The Bahamas is the Bahamas. We are a brand amongst brands
and
globally.
And a luxury brand.
And so why we don't tap into that fully, I don't know. But then Bahamians need to grasp it as well. Because, I mean, everything that you hear nowadays, especially if you speak Bahamian,
It is expectation, though. For instance, like, I am always intrigued by the way, and I'll tell you who is particularly good at this. The Bajan Prime Minister, Mia Mottley, and the Jamaican Prime Minister. Even on their feet, as Prime Minister, you hear the dialect
and
bust through every now and again.
Why not?
And so that's interesting. But, you know, in the Bahamas, you speak standard English.
And if you don't, you ain't learn it.
Easily dismissed. Easily dismissed.
How come? Why I cannot go to any major property, hotel property in the Bahamas, and hear the Bahamian dialect.
I agree.
Celebrate it.
Yeah.
The menu I write in now, it in full Bahamianese.
Yeah.
If you can't understand it,
come ask somebody. Come ask me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
This what it in?
Yeah.
This is Bahamian. Yeah. You can't have a Bahamian restaurant and nothing on it Bahamian.
Yeah. That's like when I tell people, I ain't like lie. I just want to make sure you know.
Listen.
I ain't like lie.
I am unapologetic about it because,
that don't
make you less smart than the next person.
Let me squeeze this in, Chef, because I got them moist like a Christmas cake this morning. This here says, third party stand as much a chance as you do in politics. You're just annoying and a waste of time. That's why I am media. That's why I am.
I have one question about politics for you, my learned friend. How do you feel? This is a two-part question, quickly. How do you feel about the marketing strategy of most of the parties? And why is it that I need a billboard to know who my representative is in my constituency?
I don't know. I think the billboards aren't necessarily for familiarization. I think they are attached to what I call the Obeah of politics.
Right.
As somebody that ran as an independent candidate, I could tell you, when they put them billboards and posters on the ground, the mind of the people change. And so I think it is largely attached to psychology more than it is to information and media. I will say this, though. Whoever is running the Progressive Liberal Party's media campaign, man, they deserve a cookie. They deserve a cookie.
Yeah, they all over the place.
Yeah, they deserve a cookie.
You can't go on no platform and not see them pull up.
Sometimes if I call so off hands, a picture of the PLP just pop up. let me read one more. This one says, Miller, how can I get in contact with Chef Hall? Give them your social
Simeonhalljr.com. Right. SimeonHallJr.com, and once you go there, you have all my online footprint.
Papa was back in Elizabeth Saturday. Did you see that?
You know, one of the things that I loved about that gentleman, and one of the things that I loved about most of our leaders so far, was, you know, one of the things that he always did, he always walked through the back of the house whenever he visited any property. Mm-hmm. And he stopped and engaged with everybody. Mm-hmm. And also, to a feather in my cap, was most of them knew me and who I what I was doing, and knew my story beyond and knowing that I was pushing Bahamian politics. Yeah. I mean, culture. You know what I mean? So that's a big deal for somebody like me.
Now I have the election call count like this. I ain't gonna tell you who I pulling for, but I can tell you how I have it count. 22-16-1. You think my numbers sounded to make any sense?
Oh, boy, listen, I you know what I hope for? Mm-hmm. I hope for a larger opposition.
Yeah, 22-16-1.
I hope for diversification, and I hope for people that will be in place that will actually listen.
Thank you for joining me. Chef Simeon Hall, I tell you all, he's the Ayatollah of rock and roll in the hospitality industry. I appreciate him for coming. Chef Simeon, SimeonHallJr.com.
SimeonHallJr.com.
You could find him there. Appreciate you for listening. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got news. It's next. Oh, no.